Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I thought, so Kim Joy had really big humps.
Yeah.
That's the kind of hump I'm looking
yeah,
for.
And they could barely like lie down on the thing. They were so humpy.
Yeah, they were so humpy. I love that. There we go. Intro for the show. Hello, guys, and welcome back to Bake Off Undressed. You are here. I am in your ears. My name is Matt, a.k.a. Topless Baker. Now, every week I start and I say, yeah, I'm a YouTuber, I'm an Instagrammer. But you know what? Because I've done, this is going to be my ninth week of a podcast. I'm going to say I'm a podcaster. So I'm an Instagrammer, a YouTuber and a podcaster, guys. How do you feel about that? It's because of you, though. So I'm going to big myself up. I'm a self-taught podcaster. I'm a self-taught baker. Basically learn everything from the internet. And one thing I was very obsessed with when it came out was the Great British Bake Off. And never really realised that a few years later I would then have a podcast all about the Great British Bake Off, which is what we do here every week on Bake Off Undressed. I sit here with a lovely guest and we recap what has just happened in the episode. Literally watched it, finished watching it 10 minutes ago. Sat on the sofa, had some snacks, and we caught up on it. And today was Patisserie Week. It was a semi-final, which means it's the penultimate episode of Great British Bake Off, but also the penultimate episode of Bake Off Undressed, which makes me sad. Anyways, enough about me and my obsession with the Great British Bake Off, because today, every week, joined by a very special guest, and today I'm joined by a two-time cookbook, or that sounds like an Oscar winner, but a two-time...
I mean, it's equivalent, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's like a two-time cookbook author, an Instagram celeb, shall we say, also known as Top with Cinnamon. How do I get cinnamon wrong? Top with Cinnamon, Izzy Hossack. Welcome to the show, Izzy.
Thank you for having me.
It is a pleasure to have. I've been following you for such a long time. It's weird when you follow people and then you meet them in real life.
It is, isn't it?
I remember I met you for the first time. I was like, oh my God, I don't know where we were. We were at Taste Made, I think. We were walking next to each other. And I said, oh my God, you're Izzy Hossack. And you go, oh my God, you're Topless Bacon. I was like, why do you know who I am? I was really starstruck. But thank you for joining me. It was Patisserie Week, week 9, semi-final of the Great British Bake Off. Guys, you can join in. Hashtag Bake Off Undressed. You know I like it when you use the hashtag. So get involved. You can tweet us. But we're going to do a little recap for you because we just sat down and watched this whole thing, didn't we?
Yeah, just had a nice experience with some pretzels and
yeah, what do we
puppy.
Have? We had pretzels. Oh, there was a puppy here this week. Oh my goodness, Freya. A little cockapoo puppy that was 4 weeks old. The cutest thing ever.
My God.
A couple barks during this episode, but that was totally fine. So that was really cute. Anyways, we had a bit of a big week here, Patisserie Week. And the first segment, they had 24 dip madeleines. And I was kind of getting up in arms, actually, this week. I felt, you know, I'm not that confident all of the week so far. But Patisserie Week, I was screaming at the TV.
Oh, you were in your element.
My arms were up
week.
In the air. It was my week. Like, okay, I've probably been cut like by week 3 anyways. But had I made it through to this week, ugh. So first up, madeleines. Have you made madeleines before?
Yeah, I have a couple of times. Not loads of times, but, you know, I've done it.
I love them because they're kind of like a sweet treat that you can have at breakfast. It's like, oh yes, the cake that is also counts as breakfast.
Still breakfast appropriate. Have it with a cup of coffee.
Exactly.
You know?
You dip it in a coffee. Yeah. It's controversial. Oh. Controversial? But would you do it?
I would do it.
You would do, you're like, yeah,
I'll be straight in there.
Okay, I love that. I love that. So they had to make 24, two different flavours. And I was up in arms immediately. And so was Paul Hollywood. Now, I've had my issues with Paul. But he was up in arms too because they were using baking powder in the recipe, which is cheating. It is cheating. Did you use baking? When you made them, did you use baking powder?
I think I probably did, yeah.
Okay, we can't speak.
Good. I'm sorry.
Izzy, do you join? She is a lovely guest for 2 minutes.
And now
gone.
I'm leaving.
And now she's leaving. But basically, a madeleine is like a Genoese sponge, and the rise comes from whisking the eggs and the sugar, yeah. So it has lots of volume. And then you chill the batter so that when it goes into the heat of the oven. It goes... It doesn't explode. That was the wrong sound effect to make. But it really rises.
Just a gentle rise.
A gentle rise.
But quite dramatic.
And you get the nipple.
Although they weren't calling it a nipple.
No, I was begging for someone to call it the nipple.
Like, I thought they would.
I was waiting, because it's quite an innuendo kind of show, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't think they could go that far and actually say nipple.
But I felt like someone...
They were saying hump, which, I mean, also...
Is that it, my hump? It's a Black Eyed Peas,
yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah.
Okay, we're there. We're on the same generation. Here we go. And basically, they use baking powder, which kind of cheats a way to getting the nipple, or the hump, as they were calling it.
But, I mean, like, they kind of disregarded the whole hump thing later on anyway.
They did, because... I thought, so Kim Joy had really big humps.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes, amazing. Yeah. Those are Instagram-worthy Madelines. Like, if you looked at Madelines on Instagram, that's the kind of hump I'm looking for.
And they could barely like lie down on the thing. They were so humpy.
Yeah, they were so humpy. I love that. There we go. Intro for the show. And they were decorating in different ways. So there were a lot of them were dipping them in like a chocolate and then covering them in... A lot of them were covering them in freeze-dried raspberries, which I had issues with because it's like, oh, this is something really colourful, but...
Doesn't really lend much to the final bake.
Yeah, I love lend much to the final bake. That is such a good way to put it.
Come on.
I really think that was such a good, it was like clinical. I don't lend much to the bake. And then Rahul was trying to do some feathering with some chocolate, but that was a bit messy. It was a mixed bag from all of them.
Candy melts. The candy melts. No.
You go, okay, you rant about the candy melts because I want to rant about the candy melts. How do you feel about candy melts?
It's just, you can't, it's pastry week especially. Like, you can't use a candy melt. It's not, it doesn't taste like chocolate. It doesn't really taste of anything except for it's just like plasticky and kind of edible.
Do you want to explain
really?
To anyone that's listening what a candy melt is in case they don't know?
So I think they're mostly made of palm oil, I think.
Great, that's really environmentally friendly.
And then just like loads of sugar. But they are... usually colourful, or you can colour them. You can get them white and you can colour them. And they melt really well. And people used to use them in cake pops. Do you remember the cake pop trend?
The cake pops.
I think that's
still
the
alive.
Only way that people actually sold candy melts was for cake pops.
Yes.
Because why else would you buy them?
Cake pop should never be
And then, yeah, they've just used them on the Madeleines for some weird reason because I've never seen anyone use a candy melt on a Madeleine.
And if you haven't tried it, it kind of tastes like a really sweet white chocolate. I mean, the only benefit of it is like they're really good at setting.
Yeah.
So they set really hard, which means like it's almost like tempering. It's like a cheat's way of tempering
a chocolate
without having to temper. But they just taste a bit sweet. And I think overall, no one like smashed it. We kind of had a mixed bag. So one flavor for some people would be okay. And then the other flavor wouldn't be great. So it was a mixed bag from everyone. Ruby didn't do great. Rahul didn't do great.
Yeah.
So it was a slightly mixed bag of humpy, nipply Madeleines. And then the second challenge they had, which was the longest ever technical. I feel like we had that earlier in episode.
It was insane.
And Nick, can you pronounce it? Because I did write it down.
Oh, I can't remember what it was called.
Okay. Hang on. Give me an accent here, Matt. Come on. Here we go. Torta setavele.
Torta setavele.
Love it. One more. Torta setavele. Which is apparently seven veils cake.
Wow.
Are you a big kind of entremet person? Because it was kind of like an entremet. No.
I'm really not into the like really involved bakes. I'm like, I just want to mix something, put it in the oven and then eat it.
I feel that. Because there was a lot of freezing in this. So they had make...
There was like seven elements. Something ridiculous.
Yeah, seven elements. They had to make like a bavois sponge. Yeah, they had to make a fouilletine, a genetine, blah, 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 any wheezies. I'm just going to just make that up. And then they had to make...
A mirror glaze. They had to temper chocolate curls. They had to do caramelized hazelnuts for a praline.
Chocolate mousse.
Oh, my Lord.
I mean, the flavors sounded unbelievable.
Yeah.
But there was mixed bag of results. The main issue, and I've made quite a lot of mirror glazes before, and I have this problem too, and they got the quantity of gelatin wrong. So basically a lot of the cakes were very gelatinous on top.
But this is the thing that I was thinking. It's like, don't they give them a standard? Don't they all get the same recipe? So if they're all at the end being like, oh, this is too rubbery. It's like, well, something's wrong with your recipe then, guys.
That's exactly, I just wanted to bring that up too. Like when they were saying, oh, this praline tastes better than this one, or this mousse is just like, you have the same recipe. Yeah. How on earth does it taste any different?
Yeah, especially with something like gelatin, where it's going to be consistent throughout the whole thing.
Because you can't just give someone a packet of gelatin because that's
like,
guess
how much
you can't guess gelatin. Like, it has to be so precise. So it's like, surely, I just don't understand how there were such varying results.
It was weird, isn't it?
And we had a bit of a real panic moment from Kim Joy in the middle, who... It was tough to watch.
It was, wasn't it?
She was very close to tears.
She just lost confidence in herself, and she just had this like moose that was ready to go, and she just gave up on it.
She made a really good looking moose. Yeah. Because she was like, I've never made a chocolate mousse, which is concerning, but that's fine. Yeah. You might not like chocolate. But then she made what looked like a good mousse.
Yeah.
And given that she was going to freeze it, the consistency.
It's going to set later on. It's fine.
Yeah. And she just had a meltdown.
She did. She was like, well, I'm leaving. I'm done.
Yeah. It was like Revol times 100. It was like the utmost negativity we've ever seen from her. But she made did she make another one?
She said she did, but then it wasn't. Did it go on the cake?
She did like the tiniest layer ever, and then ended up coming second.
I don't understand how that happened.
After all that fuss. But I guess the thing was, she didn't really put chocolate mousse in it yet. She still came second. And you were up in arms.
Because usually it's like if you miss out any kind of element, if you make like 11 cakes instead of 12, they're like, well, you're out. And she leaves out a mousse in like the semi-finals, and they're like, yeah, cool, second.
And she was like, it's like, oh, it's a 7-layer cake, but I'm just going to put 6 in because I just didn't want to put my mousse on.
Part of the name.
Yeah, exactly. There
seven
you go.
Bales.
Torta seven. Oh, we're not even going to say it again. So we had Rahul came last because his was rubbery AF. Him and Bryony's were really rubbery.
Yeah.
And then Bryony came. Bryony came first. Oh, no, not Bryony.
No, Ruby. Yeah.
I'm getting all these Y's mixed up. So that was kind of paving the way almost to the next segment, which was, well, it was a very generic. It was a French patisserie window, which, like, you think that doesn't really make sense, but it's when you walk past a Parisian cake shop and you see like all the offerings
all
the in the window,
things.
And they had to make 3 different patisserie dishes. So one with choux pastry, one with pâte sucrée. Pâte sucrée is a sweet pastry, and then one with puff pastry. And again, very mixed results across the bag.
It was just a strange combination of things that turned out in the end.
It was some weird flavor, like they were struggling with the thickness of their pastry. So Bryony's was way too thick. Rahul's looked a little bit too thick. And then the choux pastry, they were like, Kim Joy burnt a little bit of hers. And then, see, one thing I had to do is they had to make puff pastry, which is extremely tough in 5 hours.
God. And this summer was the like hottest summer ever. Imagine having to make puff pastry in the 30 degree weather.
I've made it once and I nearly cried, so I gave up. And I made rough puff and it was difficult. Yeah. And that was the issue, is they were all making rough puff apart from Bryony, who
made
like full on puff.
It was a bad choice though, because it didn't.
But I think she deserved extra credit for that.
She should have done, but then because it wasn't baked, then.
Because it was rigged. It was rigged for Rahul to go through.
Bryony, yours is undercooked. Rahul, your pale pastry is delicious.
We're going to talk about that. We are going to get to that at some point in the show. Oh my goodness. But Bryony tried to make full puff pastry. Everyone else made rough puff.
Yeah.
And hers came out raw.
But she was going all out on everything. I felt so sad.
The problem she had as well is she didn't weigh her trays down. So when you make a puff pastry, if you don't weigh it down, it puffs up, because that's whole point of a puff pastry. But she didn't really weigh it down, so hers puffed up massively, and it wasn't like nice compressed flaky layers of puff pastry. And as a result, she had a shocker. Her dough was raw and she was sent home. Oh, Bryony.
Didn't see that coming.
I didn't see it coming. I mean, I think Sandy said it really well. She was like kind of the energy and the force of the show. She was very positive. She hasn't really had any breakdowns. Like, even when she was taking the criticism at the end, handling it so well.
Exactly.
She was brilliant. And then star baker, Ruby.
Yeah.
Did you feel good about that? Did you feel like Ruby?
I thought she deserved it this week.
Yeah.
I think that was a good choice.
The thing is, it was another week where I expect them to progress every week. And this week and last week, which was Danish week, they kind of regressed a little bit. It's like vegan week really messed them up. And ever since, they've all
downhill now.
Yeah, they've all kind of struggled, which is, I mean, they're tough challenges. So it's, you know, it is what it is, but it was difficult. Yeah. So that was it. Bryony gone. Ruby Starbaker 2 weeks in a row, because she won Danish week last week.
Wow.
A rather eventful patisserie.
She's on a roll.
She is. A roll to winning. Ooh, it. We kind of spoke about it. And we were saying she is going to have a great career post Bake Off.
Definitely. Definitely.
I think she's going to be a star.
I think so too. We're predicting it.
We're predicting it now, Ruby.
She's going to be in the cover of some magazine.
Yeah. She's like very, I feel like she's going to get into food, fashion, modeling, like makeup. She's going to blend all those
words. She's going to have like a cake themed fashion / makeup brand release.
You've called
it. I would buy that.
Are you going to buy it? You want like cupcake
like chocolate,
shirts?
Chocolate like bronzer or something. Ooh. You know?
Okay.
Or like Merlot, like lipstick.
I feel like I can't relate to that as a man that doesn't wear like much Merlot lipsticks in my life. But I feel never tried it on. But I feel like you've got that expertise. So if you Merlot lipsticks come in your way.
Definitely. I'll send her an email.
I love it, Ruby.
I'm going to request it.
Email coming your way. So the first thing that we talk about on the show, Izzy, which I briefed you on earlier, so you should be prepped for this. Pressure,
oh my
pressure.
God.
You feel it. So we talk about the icing on the cake and the soggy bottom moment. So the icing on the cake, as the name would suggest, is your favourite moment of the show, the bit that got you going, and then your soggy bottom moment, which was your low point of the show, something that maybe upset you a little bit or something you didn't enjoy or something a contestant did. So do you have your icing on the cake?
I think for icing on the cake.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I would say,
She actually has her hand on her chin right now, like tapping it, as you would.
Properly pondering.
See, my icing on the cake... I'm going to interrupt you. So you can think.
I'm thinking.
My icing on the cake, I was annoyed at Paul because he was like, Kim Joy, you shouldn't have used Crackerland on your shoe pastry because I think it's not very good. Crackerland is, and you would have seen from Kim Joy's shoe buns, is a fantastic technique to getting perfect shoe buns every time. I think I might have spoken about this last week, possibly. I can't remember. I don't remember what I do yesterday. But basically what Crackerland does is when you put it on top of a shoe pastry, it kind of acts as like a roof and it keeps the shoe bun in a uniform shape. So a lot of shoe pastry recipes kind of like puff and burst to one side and they go really uneven. Whereas a crackerland is like a roof that says hey, you are not popping over there and you are not burning that side. I'm going to keep you all under my shiny sugary roof.
Delicious.
So they stay in,
I would.
Yeah, exactly. And they stay in a really uniform shape. So it's kind of actually it was a cheat's way to getting perfect shoe pastry every time. So I love that technique from Kim Joy because it's not only tasty, but it's a very uniform way of getting a perfect shoe. All right, so back to you.
Okay, so I think I'm also going to go for a Kim Joy moment.
Okay, love that.
So I think that with the Madeleines at the beginning, she got that nipple. It was great. She got the hump in, you know?
Yeah, she did.
No one else had as good a hump. So I don't understand how they were like, oh, Rahul, yours is so, like, the hump on it is so good. And it was like, what are you talking about? Have you seen hers?
Yeah.
Did she use baking powder?
I think they all did. I feel like she dumped in a good half a tin of baking powder.
But, look, I don't mind.
No.
I don't mind. As long as it looks good.
The nipple was...
That's what you want, isn't it? And... hers were decorated amazingly compared to everyone else's where they just like dipped it in some like, I don't know, chocolate and then feathered it or put some freeze-dried raspberries on it.
Yeah.
And you're just like,
hers were flawless.
They were amazing.
It's every week though, her decorations
incredible.
Are flawless.
Yeah.
Are you a good piper?
I mean, I don't really pipe things that
much. You don't
much.
Pipe things?
No.
I am addicted to piping.
I'm like, literally... just, I just can't be bothered.
Oh, that's fair enough. You just, you like you said, you want to bake and eat out of the oven.
Exactly. So I'm like a chocolate chip cookie girl.
Oh, really? Okay.
Like, that's the level of commitment for
me. That's
the
level of commitment. I feel you. So you're like a pre-bake artist rather than a post-bake artist.
Oh, definitely.
All right, I feel you. Yeah. Soggy bottom. Got any soggy bottoms that you saw on this episode?
We've already talked about this, but it was the chocolate mousse thing. That really annoyed
me. That really upset you again with Kim Joy.
It did. It pissed me off. I couldn't believe she got second for that.
That did. You were up in arms.
I was
up in arms a lot this episode. That was your one
that
kind
was.
Of off
yeah,
the sofa
you've had
moment.
A lot of soggy bottom moments this one because you were really angry about multiple things. But I was just like, I don't really know anything about patisserie. So
I feel like you do. You're shortchanging yourself.
No, a little bit, but I haven't done that much.
See, I'm trying to think my soggy bottom moment. Like, again, I was upset because Bryony went all out on the puff pastry. She made full-on puff, and then it was underbaked, which it clearly was underbaked. Mm. Didn't look good, fair enough, but at least she tried. Rahul, his were pale AF.
They were.
Like, they were... It was so underbaked.
It looked like a shortbread biscuit
literally.
That you'd buy from the shops.
And there was... I didn't see any flaky layers.
There was no flakiness.
And they were like, this is the most unbelievable thing I've ever eaten. There was zero goldenness whatsoever.
I just don't understand.
If I saw that in a French patisserie window, I'd be like, not shopping there.
No. It's like I was saying earlier, maybe the production company is gaslighting us and they're just being like, yeah, I mean, this is amazing. Haven't you seen it? And we're all just like, what? Are we looking at the same thing?
But the thing is, to a novice viewer, they might not notice
yeah,
that.
That's true.
Because milfoy, a puff pastry, is golden.
Yeah.
And I don't want to hate on Rahul. Maybe just underbaked it. That's fair enough. It might have been a good pastry recipe, but it's BS. You can't call it out for being amazing when it's clearly underbaked.
Especially when Bryony's was underbaked and they penalised her for that one too. So
exactly. So speaking of baking and cooking,
you
are a superstar because you've got some books, which we're going to talk about later. Very successful Instagram. But how you learned to cook from your mum, right?
Yeah.
How did you... What got you into it? Why are you so interested in now a superstar?
A superstar. I like that. I'm just
like
going to change my Instagram bio and put that in.
Just say like Matt called me a superstar.
Yeah, exactly.
Matt Thomas Baker called me a superstar.
Well, so I got into baking because my mum is American-Italian.
Oh, my mum's American.
We've talked about this before because your family's from... Boston?
Yes.
Yeah, my mum's from Boston.
Maybe they know. I feel like it's like maybe they know each other.
Oh my God, maybe. Yeah, so she met my dad and then moved to England like 30 years ago.
Oh my goodness, my mum's going to be listening to this. Mum, this is our same life story here.
This is amazing.
Maybe Izzy's my secret sister.
Oh my God. Oh my that goodness. Would be so weird.
Mum, what are you not telling me? Okay, so they moved to England, met your dad.
And she brought this recipe book with her that she'd been writing down all these family recipes in from her grandma and her mum and she, like from magazines in America. So she came back to England and was baking things like carrot cake and chocolate chip cookies and devil's food cake and like things you just couldn't get here. So I grew up baking that kind of stuff. And then I got into it from that because like when you're a kid, all you want to do is eat cake. So of course
totally.
I wanted to bake and eat cake.
That is, and do you think you would turn that book, like, could you repurpose that book into like a book for her? See, what I've always thought is one day I want to take all my dad's recipes. My dad's not technologically savvy to listen to this podcast, so it's okay. But one day I would love to take all his recipes because he has them in some horrible online document and like loads of books. I was like, I want to make them look really good and print them all and put them in like a little book for him. Maybe you could do that for your mum. You could put it all in one. I mean, you have two books, so maybe I'm jumping the gun here. But would you ever put them all into one book for her?
Well, she does have quite a lot of like random recipes strewn around. She has started like a second handwritten recipe book now. So maybe I would take all of that and condense it into one for her.
And she also runs a pottery business, right?
She's a potter.
She's a potter. I love that. Because your Instagram picture, if you don't follow Izzy on Instagram, you do that. But your pictures feature a lot of beautiful plates and mugs and just like your food styling is very good. And you use a lot of her...
Lots of her handmade pottery.
And is she making it or are you making it for the photos?
So like, she's making it, but I have started making some of my own stuff. I've gone to the studio, made some plates for myself. Very nice.
Very
but it just
exciting.
Takes a few weeks for it to get fired and everything.
So
it's a long process.
It's a long process. Yeah. I've never potted. Potted? What's the verbiage there?
Well, yes, potted would be
I've never potted. Maybe I'll have to come pot with you one day.
Yeah,
my secret
definitely.
Sister. My secret sister. And then we've kind of touched on it a little bit.
Yeah.
You are a cookbook author. So if anyone didn't know, at the age of 19, am I correct?
I started writing it when I was 17.
Oh, come on.
And it came out when I was 18.
So when you were 18, your first ever book came out, yep. Top of Sinner, which was named after your blog, which you had at the time. So how on earth at 18 do you get a book deal? How does that happen?
I mean, it's ridiculous. I'm very lucky. I can't really believe it happened. And it just seems like a lifetime ago. But it was because I'd started blogging in like 2011. And that was kind of...
You were well ahead of the trend.
Yeah, that's
trend.
Like pre it came to England. Because I was blogging when... it was starting to get big in America and I was reading lots of American food blogs. And because I'd been taught by my mum to bake, I baked in the American way of like cups and all that stuff, ooh, which I know you're against.
Again, but goodbye, okay. Izzy. It's been nice but to have you this
like,
week.
Hear me out. When you're baking things like bread
yeah.
or patisserie, you definitely need scales. Mm-hmm. But if you're making something like a chocolate chip cookie, you can't. There is a degree of tolerance within recipes where you can... use volume and they okay. will it will work.
I mean you're
but it might not be it won't be consistent across what everyone makes, but you'll make something that tastes good.
Because one of the things that people say about your recipes, you're very credible as a cook, so I will give you that that those recipes work. And so you were doing your A-levels,
yeah,
and you were studying, hang on, give me the crazy subjects you were studying.
Biology, chemistry, maths, art.
And writing a cookbook. So how do you balance that time?
Well, you basically just don't have a life. you go to school and then come back and then do like social media and everything like that. And then on the weekends, I would do my like recipe testing and stuff. And I did lots of stuff with the summer holidays, like I was doing.
And what did your friends think about it? Like, oh yeah, I'm just writing a cookbook.
I mean... Yeah, it was a bit weird.
Like, it's so
they were all very
mature.
Supportive of me.
It's so yeah. Now they look back like, oh wow, our friend is like now a really famous cookbook author. I'm trying to think what I was doing when I was 16. I was like playing cricket or something. You know, I didn't even have the mental capacity to even think about writing a book. So
I'm just a very antsy person. Like if I'm sitting around doing nothing, I get really bored. So I just have to do something productive.
So here's a 200-page novel with great recipes in it.
You know, I just wrote a book in the spec. No, it was a lot of, it was like a big commitment and it took a lot of time and it was like, just didn't go out or do anything. So, you know, you can choose doing a book or you can choose having a life. So it's up to you really.
And now you have a life.
Yeah.
So you talked a lot about, you were saying you were doing kind of social media at the time. So what, look at this segue in. We talk about the social media that was going on with Great British Bake Off. So this segment is called That Takes the Cake.
Very nice.
Yeah, very nice. I know I'm a pro at this now. Week nine, I'm really ingrained with this, guys. And we talk about what people were talking about on Twitter, because Twitter is a hotbed for people getting angry about Bake Off or have opinions or comment on anything that's happened on the show. And we just want to talk about the vibe that was happening on Twitter this week. And I feel like early on the Great British Bake Off, people are kind of getting to know people and they're very gentle, like, oh, Rahul's cute. This week, they were
brutal,
up in arms. Because I think people were still upset about last week and the fact that Manon got sent home instead of Rahul. And they're basically saying, Manon should have been in this week and she would have smashed it because she's French. Mm-hmm.
She would have done. And that, like, I feel like that was her kind of bit as well. Like, she would have been really good at it because she was very precise about doing things and like neat. And it just would have been her time to shine.
She could have got Star Baker.
She could have done it.
It was French week. Like, she could have had it.
Yeah.
So people were upset, really upset about that. And then I guess a lot of the comments were really going in on Rahul.
Yeah.
But then also feeling really bad for Bryony that she'd gone home. Like, people weren't really that upset that Rahul did badly, but they were very upset that Bryony had gone because of kind of the energy that she brought to the show.
Understandably.
What we also talk about is your spoon, fork, knife.
Oh.
Now, this has been a bit of a unique segment because initially when we started it, It was like, who would you spoon, fork, knife from this week's episode? But we've had some rogue guests who are picking other contestants or judges even. We've had a spoon, fork, knife of a judge. I think that was me. So I went rogue. But basically, if you want to tell us about who from this week you would like to spoon, so you give them a little, maybe they need a little confidence boost or cuddle, someone you'd fork, maybe go a little bit further than a spoon, and then and then someone you might knife from the show. So this week, someone you thought maybe deserved to go home instead of Bryony. So I'm going to give me a spoon. Who have you got a spoon?
I think Kim Joy needed the spoon this week.
Yes, I was with you there.
She just needed the confidence. It's what we were talking about earlier with the chocolate mousse, and everything just seemed to be going wrong after that. But it was fine. So she just needed a little bit of a hug and like someone to just give her a confidence boost and cup of tea. And
be a like, cup of tea? I don't think she had time for a cup of tea.
She had time to make a second mousse. Come on.
See, I was thinking spoon, and this was quite cute because Bryony, I mean, it went really pickled up for Bryony. It did not go well. And then Noel gave her a little kiss on the forehead, which people were tweeting about saying, like, is that inappropriate? But she actually tweeted saying, you know what? Noel's kiss on my forehead gave me so much reassurance and like comfort at that moment in time. Yeah. So I was like, there you go. There's your spoon, Bryony. Your kiss on the forehead, because that's going to make you feel better. Yeah. So I was spooning her. Yeah. And then anyone you want to fork. So any, like, maybe it's something they did that you love and you're like, yes, I'm going to fork you for that.
I mean, okay, I might go rogue with this one.
Okay, love a rogue.
So I would say I would fork Manon back in here.
Ooh.
Because
I think
that she would have done so well in this round. And if like the rounds had been reversed, she would have got through for sure.
What we haven't talked about as well is what do you think you would have made? So if you were doing the Madeleines, for example.
Mm. Well, I was saying earlier that you could put, instead of them putting like fruit in the middle, which is just going to go soggy or stop the nipple, you could put like a little bit of chocolate in the center.
Yep.
Because then they're probably still warm by the time the judges eat them, because they have hardly any time make them. So you'd have like a little gooey chocolate center. Mm. And you could do like a chocolate batter as well with cocoa powder in it.
That's what I was thinking. Maybe a swirled one.
I thought someone might, a marbled one.
I was thinking someone was going to do that.
Yeah.
See, I'm a big brown butter man. I would have wanted a brown butter Madeleine.
That
for me
good.
Is like right there. That's what I'm talking about. So, you've gone rogue there with the fork. Now, I don't think I have a good fork. So I think I'm going to fork Kim Joy for that icing on the Madeleine. Loved it. I forked her last week for a piping. I'm going to fork her again because every other one was messy, basically.
And like, considering the other challenges were way harder, you would think that with the Madeleines, they would have all just done like really well and done really amazing decorations on them. But they're all just a bit like, meh.
Like, considering you have a week to practice.
Yeah.
So I was on a podcast called The Flower Hour, actually two contestants who were on the American baking show.
Wow.
The American Bake Off show? I don't know how they call it. But they don't get a week in between each episode.
No.
So they get like a day.
No.
Yeah.
Oh,
so when you're like practicing, let's say you want a week to practice a Madeleine, like these guys are in a hotel with no kitchen, no oven, no time to practice. How crazy is that?
So that's really mean.
That coming back to this is you've got a week to practice Madeleines.
Yeah. And that's like, something you know you're making. You know you're making two things, so you will practice the hell out of that.
Yeah. And when I started baking, a lemon poppy seed Madeleine was one of the first things I ever made. And I was pretty crap when I started baking. Even I got a nipple and a Madeleine that was edible, you know, that tasted good. So come on, guys, like Google some good recipes.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. You can do it.
Yeah.
And then knife. Anyone you thought should have gone from the show that didn't go, or are you happy with Bryony? She's gone.
I mean, I think this week she did deserve to go. I don't think it was like a contentious thing.
Yes.
But I think overall, if they were judging it, because do they judge it week by week, or is it like an overall
situation? We think it's week by week. So we think it doesn't matter what you did last week. This week, it's all about this week.
Yeah. Well, I think because of the underbaked pastry, even though she did put loads of effort in and she didn't get like the best like technical challenge cake either. It was like the rubbery thing on whatever, rubbery glaze. It wasn't like anyone else was going to be knifed, I guess.
Yeah. See, I'm going to go rogue, new rogue knifing. I want to knife the fact that they had to do three pastries for the final challenge.
That
like,
was
three
ridiculous.
Is too many, and 5 hours is a long time, but they don't have the time to be precise and like it just caused drama, like unnecessary drama. And in a show where they should be progressing each week, they're giving them unnecessary challenges where they don't have the time to succeed just to make good TV.
That's my main problem with Bake Off, has always been the timings. Like whenever they give them bread week and they're like, you have 1 hour to make a sourdough loaf. And you're like, okay, well, that takes like a day.
That takes like 10 years to make like fertilizing your sourdough.
Or it's like, oh, you have half an hour to make croissant. And you're like, what?
It's ridiculous. The timing is an issue. And even when they had this technical for the seven layer, seven veils cake, it was like, she was like, use the freezer. It was like, you're going to have to freeze this element every 5 minutes because it's going to be impossible.
It's ridiculous.
Now, written your second book, which is now out, The Savvy Cook. So the first book, Top of Cinnamon. Second book, The Savvy Cook. What's the difference between the two?
So
because I've got
book.
The Savvy Cook. I haven't got Top of Cinnamon.
Oh, okay.
I don't think I knew even it was Top of Cinnamon, but I now have Savvy Cook.
Right, okay. So main difference, Top of Cinnamon was like based on my blog. So it's got like lots of family recipes in it, lots of baking, some savory stuff, but not that much stuff. And then Savvy Cook was based more on like my time at uni. So it was more budget focused and focused on using like food waste. So if you've got like half a packet of spinach in the fridge, like these are recipes that you can use it in. Or if you've got carrots, you can use them instead of butternut squash in this recipe. So kind of giving people the confidence to make stuff that's not just like spag bowl or mac and cheese or something
like that. That's like in my life. I think I have spag bowl every single week.
But you could shake it up, you know?
No, I'm just stuck in the rut of spag bowl, chili, maybe stir fry, and then something adventurous at the weekend. Literally, I'm like searching for new things.
This is the thing. It's because you spend too much time making the pastry, so you put too much effort in there, whereas I'm the opposite, where I was like, don't put the effort in with the baking stuff. I'm like, oh, I'll just make some
But your baking is your baking is good though. Like you do a lot of really beautiful pies. You do a lot of it.
But I just don't do like the really involved things that much.
So what's your favorite bake? So I have the same answer, but if you had to bake one thing, you could only have it for the rest of your life. What would you have?
So I've got a chocolate chip cookie recipe in my first book, in Top with Cinnamon. And that is my favorite thing like ever. Because you age the dough for like at least 3 days.
Aged. I've never heard that with a cookie.
So
I know aging like a bread or a sourdough, but hang on, what does aging a cookie dough involve? So I need to know more about this.
You make the dough. So it's a really easy dough to make where you brown the butter and then you just mix into the dry ingredients, add an egg in, mix your chocolate chunks in, and then you put it in the fridge and you leave it there for like at least 3 days or up to a week.
So what's that doing?
So I think what happens is that like the flour. Well, okay, I haven't like tested it in a lab. So, but I have got a food science degree. So
That's true. You know,
there's a little bit of science behind it. But I think the flour is starting to absorb the moisture from the egg and the butter. And it kind of just makes a denser dough. So it doesn't spread as much. And then also it just kind of gains more flavor somehow. So, because I think like, I think the flavors meld together. Like, it's like, you know, when you have a curry the next day and it tastes amazing. Mm-hmm. Like way better than the first day. It's like that with cookie dough, where if you leave it in the fridge, the flavors just like meld together and it just tastes so much better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, when you were at that point in your life where you've written a cookbook, you're 18, you've got like a pivot in the road now. Like, do you become a full-time author, cookbook writer, like recipe developer at 18, or do you go to uni? And then you decided to go to uni to study
food science and nutrition.
And then wrote a second book. So that moment in your like at the fork of the road, how did you decide like, okay, I'm gonna go to uni and kind of have this like a backup plan, because you're already an author. Like what made you make that decision?
Well, because I've always been interested in like the health side of things, because at school I was doing biology and chemistry, so I've always been interested in the science side of things, and then combining it with food, like nutrition, kind of makes sense. And then when I was like reading news articles about health stuff, I was always getting really angry, because like most science journalists just don't know what they're if Bake Off had had like a nutrition week and they had been like talking about BBC news articles about, I don't know, cholesterol or something, then I would have been up in arms as much as you were.
Okay.
So that is my like anger kind of thing. So I was getting really angry at all these articles I was reading, So I was like, you know what, I'm just going to go and like educate myself about it so that if I ever want to actually talk about it or use it for my recipe development or career, then I actually know what I'm talking about and can be like, I've got a degree in it, so you can't tell me I'm wrong.
See, so like, not to use the word savvy from your cookbook, but like so savvy from such a young age. Like that is just, you had such a plan. And that's so impressive.
I mean, I don't have a plan anymore.
I feel like you do have a plan. So you just graduated, you've written your second book, and you're now like full-time top of cinnamon.
Yeah. Full-time top of cinnamon.
Full-time just topping things with cinnamon. Oh, yeah. Like you have so much cinnamon in your house. I love that, sprinkling cinnamon on everything. So next week is the final of Bake Off.
Oh my God.
And the final of Bake Off. So we record this late, by the way, guys. Like we record this, it's now like 9:30. I then have to get a train home at 11:30 p.m. I get home at like 2:30 a.m. So I'm as much as I'm sad to see Bake Off and Dress go, like I'm ready to go to bed at a normal time. I'm excited for that, I'll be honest. But we're coming back with something else. We're planning it today. You got to stay tuned for that because Bake Off and Dress is going to evolve into another thing. So just keep your ears peeled. If you can peel them, you peel them because you keep them peeled. Now, next week, the final. We've got Rahul, we've got Ruby, and we've got Kim Joy. Who's going to win it?
I'm inclined to say Kim Joy, but after this week, I'm like, oh, my faith in her has wavered. And Ruby seems to be kind of the underdog who just is snatching up those star bakers.
snatching them out the air.
So I feel like it's going to be probably Kim Joy, but possibly Ruby, but I don't think Rahul will win. I just don't think he's got it.
I mean, he was having a panic attack. We saw a preview and he was literally having a panic attack. Yeah. He was like, breathe, Rahul.
He's like, don't collapse.
Yeah, he really looked in a bad way.
It was intense, yeah.
But maybe that makes me think he possibly did quite well. That he's if he'd known he'd done badly, he'd be in a bad place.
Yeah, they're trying to trick us again.
They're trying to trick you. They tricked me the other week.
editing.
I think Ruby's going to win. Yeah. I think she's going to have three on the trot, week 8, week 9, week 10. Smashing
She's
it.
On that roll and she's going for it.
Yeah. So we also shout out to people that listen to the podcast, which I love when someone listens to it because we spend a lot of time listening to this. And we got a tweet this week from Natalie Holmes. And she said, there's only 2 more weeks of Great British Bake Off. How am I going to wind down without the extra episode of Extra Slice? We don't care about that though. And Bake Off Undressed in my week. She said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bake. So Natalie... Yeah. Shout out to you, who also has a blue tick on Twitter. You Whoa. Go, Natalie.
Nice.
Yeah, loving that. And we also got Rachel King. She said, just discovered hashtag Bake Off and Dress to get me through the most tedious jobs at work. Why didn't I listen to it sooner? We don't know why, Rachel, but there's a lot of episodes now.
Oh, yeah, you can catch up. You can binge now.
You can binge it. You can Bake Off and Dress and chill if you need to. So where can we find you? Where can people find you? Because we need to find the chocolate chip cookie recipe aged. Is that on your blog?
It is.
It's only available through the book.
It's on the blog as well. It's best ever chocolate chip cookies, I think.
So where do we find you on Insta? What's your blog?
So on Instagram, I'm at Izzy Hossack. It's with I-Z-Y.
Okay, there, yeah. 1-Z. That's good to know.
And then same on Twitter, same on Facebook. And then my website is Top With Cinnamon. But so this is the thing. Sometimes I say Top With Cinnamon to people and they think I'm saying topless cinnamon.
No.
So I am your secret sister.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I love this discovery.
Yeah.
You are the topless cinnamon version of me.
And you're the top with baker.
Oh, we're just getting into a whole world of names. But thank you so much for joining me, Izzy. It was an absolute pleasure to have your knowledge and your story on this week. It's been a real learning experience for me and I've loved every minute of it. And I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of Bake Off and Dress. It's been a pleasure speaking to you. Though I don't know who is listening to this, but you know what? I hope you're enjoying the subtle tones of our voices. And I'll see you guys next week for the final episode of season 9 of the Great British Bake Off. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.